Hey everybody, it's Jono with the Pro Church Marketing Podcast, and today's going to be a little bit different. Normally, I'm bringing you some quick tip that'll help you market your church online and reach more people, but I thought it might be kind of fun to occasionally mix in a story from ministry, and either a ministry fail or a ministry horror story, because I was in youth ministry for 21 years in the local church, and there's just, you know, if you're in ministry, and I assume you are, if you're listening to this, or you're involved somehow, you've probably got some of those stories yourself, and I think it's just kind of fun to share those stories with each other and laugh about it, and know that you're just not alone when all that crazy stuff happens, because there's stuff that happens to you in ministry that it just happens nowhere else, and the only people who really get it or people who've served in ministry. So today I'm going to tell you a little story.
Welcome to the Pro Church Marketing Podcast. Are you a church leader or nonprofit director that wants to reach more people online? If so, you're going to want to listen to what Jono Long has to say about the latest trends in online marketing for churches and faith-based nonprofits. Here's your host, Jono Long.
All right. Thanks for listening. I really do appreciate you allowing me to talk and you listening. That really means a lot. I'm going to make this short. I don't like long podcasts. I don't know about you. Maybe if you have a long drive and you have to commute, but I lose interest after about 20, 25 minutes. And my favorite podcasts are the one who just kind of give me a nugget in 5, 6, 7 minutes max. And so that's what I try to do here. And like I said, normally I'm giving you a tip or something I've learned about SEO or Facebook ads or the Google ads for your church. But today, I thought it might just be fun to share one of these funny stories. And there's lots of them. I'm sure you have them too. But it was always good for me to hear that other people had junk that happened in ministry because, and it's really like this in any profession, any career. When you get together with other people who are in the same profession, in the same career, and you ask how it's going, no one's really ever all that transparent and honest. You just say, hey, everything's great. Oh, yeah, we're growing. Youth ministry's huge. 5,000 people got saved last week. And we don't really tell the stories about how we got chewed out by a parent or, no one showed up to the event except the one annoying kid. And it was always good for me when other people that I looked up to would share stuff that they were struggling with or just, crazy stuff that had happened to them in ministry. So that's what I want to share with you today. Now, this particular event happened early in my ministry, like the first year. And I went into full-time ministry pretty young. When I was 19. So I was about a year out of high school, first year in Bible college, and a church hired me to be their youth pastor. And man, I was all in. I had been interning for a long time. And so now I was finally on my own. And this youth group was, I'm still tight with a lot of them 24 years later, 25 years later, and a really good group of kids. They weren't in an affluent area. And so this was the only ministry I served in where church was the only thing these kids had going on. They weren't really in sports. They, families couldn't afford to go do a whole lot of stuff. They weren't traveling. So, we could play dodgeball on a Friday night and we'd have 50, 60 kids. And this was kind of a small town. So just wasn't a whole lot going on. Good group. Love those kids. But at first it was a really small group. There was like 7 or 8. And I decided I wanted to take the students on a ski trip to West Virginia, where this church was south of Atlanta. So we start making the plans. The church signs off on me taking them to West Virginia to ski. My girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she was going to be one of the other chaperones. She's 19. And then we had one parent who was going to go with us. And they let me drive the church van. I was 19. They let me drive the church van. Like they had to get special permission from the insurance to cover me. I would not let my kids ride with a 19-year-old right now in a church van, but they did. I did have a receding hairline. I was going bald, so I looked a little older than I actually was. But anyway, we're on this trip. We get there. There's only like 8 teenagers that go with us, a few girls, a few boys, and there is this guy And we'll call this guy Chad. That's not his name, but we're going to call him Chad. Chad was the cool kid, really nice guy, really good-looking guy. All the girls liked him. And there were two girls. We'll call them Bethany and Jessica. Bethany and Jessica. Bethany and Jessica both were all about getting Chad's attention. And Bethany and Jessica were doing whatever it took. Now, Jessica had been getting Chad's attention the whole week, and Bethany was getting pretty sick of it. So there's a lot of jealousy going on there. There's drama, but whatever. We're skiing. We're having a good time. And you know, it's one of these where you ski during the day, and then at night we would go back and have dinner at this conference center, and then there would be a worship service and some preaching, and it was great. But about 2 days in, I think we had another full day of skiing in front of us, and then we were going to head home the next day. But that night, we're just all hanging out in one hotel room because it's a small group. And that night, Bethany comes in the room hysterical. And she is telling us that she just got off the phone with her mom, and her mom said that her dad had been hit by a drunk driver. There had been in an accident, and he was in a coma, and it was touch and go, and it was just bad. She's hysterical. We're praying for her. We're hugging her. We're, you know, just like, oh my gosh. And so just trying to comfort her. And so we decide to make plans. We decide that, hey, even though we've got a day of skiing left, we're gonna get up extra early in the morning. Let's get a good night of sleep. Then we're going to get up really early tomorrow morning. We're going to leave a day early and get her home so she can see her dad. Now, no one had cell phones. This is 1999, so we didn't have cell phones. So, you know, we're not really like in communication with anyone back at the church. I think on the payphone, I called our pastor to let him know what was going on. And anyway, so we drive. It's West Virginia to Atlanta. So it took forever. I think it was 8, 9, 10 hours, you know, with a bunch of teenagers. So anyway, we're driving, and, you know, Chad is showing his attention to Bethany. He's pretty much got his arms around her the whole way home. She's crying and just got her head laying on his chest the whole ride home, and he's comforting her. And then we get to the church. We're in the church parking lot. We're unloading, and everyone, like, we literally had just got out of the van, stretching our legs, starting to unload the luggage, and I'm about to go unlock the door so the teenagers could go in and call their parents to come get them. Remember, no one had a cell phone, so no one knew that we were home early. And guess who pulls into the parking lot? Yeah, Dad, who was supposedly in a coma. We are all looking shocked. And him and his wife, they say, hey, yeah, we thought you guys were getting back late tomorrow or the next day, but we were driving to dinner and saw y'all. So we thought we'd swing in and pick up Bethany. And our mouths are all just hanging open. No one says a word. It was completely awkward. Not sure what to do. And Bethany gets in the car, and then me and the other, we're just in awe. Crazy, crazy. So obviously, Dad was fine. Come to find out, after some conversations, what had happened was she had just made the whole thing up. And 19-year-old me didn't have enough sense to go back and call the mom to verify, or just, you know, even to offer assistance, or, you know, let her know what was going on. I just took this girl at her word, and we left a day early. And the whole thing was made up. But Bethany got Chad's attention the whole way home, and that was what she wanted. This was all over a boy, and that was crazy. Now, I'll tell you something funny. Well, two final things. One is that later that evening, Bethany calls everybody, and she calls me, And she's just trying to convince us to believe her and that she doesn't know what happened, but all she can figure, this was her exact words, all I can figure is that the wires got crossed and I was talking with someone else's mom who sounded like my mom. And there's some poor girl out there who doesn't know that her dad's in a coma. And then she said, you believe me, don't you? And I don't remember how I answered, but no, I didn't believe her. It was nuts. Girl had some problems. The other funny thing or ironic thing is that Chad and Jessica ended up getting married, having babies, and they are doing awesome now. In fact, I'm still in touch with them. So that was one of the craziest things that ever happened to me in ministry. And that was, I mean, like that was the first year. It's amazing that I survived it 20 years, but there's lots more stories where that came from, and I look forward to sharing some more with them. If you've got a funny youth ministry story or ministry story, horror story, something that happened, I'd love to hear it. Shoot me an email at jono@faithworksmarketing.com. And of course, as always, if we can ever help your church reach more people online, if you need help with a website or social media ads or the Google Ad Grant, we are here to help, and you can check us out at faithworksmarketing.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for personalized suggestions to help grow your organization by reaching more people online, please email jono@faithworksmarketing.com.